A Right Hook at the Rive Gauche by Carolyn A. Fox. The week after my father died, my friend Jill offered to console me over a dinner out. I chose the Rive Gauche, a white tablecloth bistro in Sherman Oaks, for its continental menu and charming ambiance. I craved a sophisticated atmosphere that might restore my faith in the pleasures of living. It was early in the evening, and I was one of only four patrons as I waited for Jill. A couple sat on the far side of the dining room, and a stylish blonde at the table next to mine chatted into her cell phone. My table was against a wall that consisted of a large bay window that ran the entire width of the building and looked out onto the street. I sat with my back to the window, facing the door, so I could greet Jill when she arrived. I envied the pretty young woman at the next table, who looked to be in her late 20s. Not just for her looks, although she was stunning. She wore strappy gold heels, fitted designer jeans, and a red leather jacket. Her long blonde hair had the kind of light streaks around the face that probably required an extra hour in the hairdresser's chair. Mostly I was jealous of her because she wasn't mourning her dead father. In fact, she was planning to meet both of her parents, her husband, and other family members for a ski weekend. I knew because her voice was loud and I couldn't help overhearing her conversation. "We need to check the snow report," she said into the phone. "We don't want to make the trip for nothing. Will you please check the snow report?" Wow, I wished I was going on a fun family trip. Switching topics, she said, "We don't have enough money to retire yet." Who does, I thought. "The accountant says we need a $7 million portfolio to be comfortable. He thinks we can get there, but to continue living the way we do now, we need at least $7 million." I was sure I would be more comfortable with a $7 million nest egg, too. I wondered if there was something I could do to get my own financial house in better order. Not that clipping grocery coupons was going to make me a millionaire. This young woman seemed to be so in control of her life. I made a mental note to follow her example by asking for more of what I wanted. She assertively asked for things like help in getting the snow report, secure in her belief that she was deserving. This gal had it all. Family, beauty, and money. Peering into what looked like a better life made me feel much worse about my own. Maybe this dinner out hadn't been such a good idea. I didn't notice she was drunk until she started yelling at the waitress. A few minutes later, the manager, a dark-haired woman in her 30s, came over to the blonde's table. Her back was to me as she spoke in a low, even tone. I couldn't make out what she was saying, but it was clear she was trying to de-escalate the situation. Suddenly, the blonde sprang to her feet and shouted, "Do you know who I am?" I certainly didn't have any idea who she was. Should I? The blonde's potential celebrity status didn't impress the manager. She firmly said, "You have to leave now." She took a step to the side, which placed her directly between the unruly patron and me. That was when things got weird. The blonde lurched at the manager, who stumbled backwards into my table. I stood up, trying to get out of the way, but with the table in front of me and the curved window behind me, there was no corner I could scuttle into. I was trapped as the restaurant was becoming a roller derby. Then the blonde threw a punch at the manager, and by proxy, at me. I saw that perfectly manicured fist coming at me in slow motion. Here I was, a peaceful woman simply looking to assuage my grief with a sympathetic friend over dinner. I might have expected this rough behavior at the county women's lockup, but this was a candlelit French restaurant in an upscale LA suburb. How, I asked myself, did I find myself smack in the middle of a boozy all-girl bistro brawl? Fortunately, the blonde failed to connect with either the manager or me, although the manager backed into me to avoid the blow, pushing me into the window. I wasn't knocked down, and only a little bruised where my shoulder hit the glass. One of the waiters helped the manager eject the blonde, and the scuffle was over nearly as quickly as it had started. I was still shaken when Jill arrived. "You missed it," I said. "There was a fist fight at the next table." "Really?" Jill waved at the waitress. "Let's get some wine and you tell me everything." Wine's a good start, I said. Despite the unexpected fisticuffs appetizer, by the end of the night I felt much better after talking to Jill over the delicious French meal. I was glad I'd come out after all. Before we left, I made a point of speaking with the manager. I saw the whole thing, I said. You can call me if you need someone to testify. Thank you, she said. She flipped over one of the restaurant's business cards, and I wrote my name and phone number on the back of it. A few weeks later, I got a phone call. The wealthy, but not yet at her $7 million goal, blonde, had sued the restaurant, alleging the manager had assaulted her. The lawsuit was based on a lie. Hearing this, the last crumb of my envy disappeared. The more I discovered about this woman, the less I wanted to be anything like her. It wasn't enough to cause a disturbance in the restaurant. She wanted revenge in the form of a money judgment. I wondered if the blonde saw her lawsuit as a way to build up her retirement account. I was looking forward to testifying. Her attorney took my deposition over the phone. What happened? He asked. I told him exactly what I saw that night. Not surprisingly, he wasn't satisfied with my account. Did the manager touch the plaintiff? He asked. By plaintiff, he meant his client, the inebriated blonde. No, but the manager might have been touched. The plaintiff was the assailant. I wanted this attorney to know I had nothing that would help his client. Are you sure? The manager had her back to me as the plaintiff kept charging at her. When the plaintiff threw a punch, I was afraid her fist was going to go right past the manager and hit me. At any time did the manager move toward the plaintiff? No, the blonde was clearly the aggressor. All I could see was that fist coming at me. The attorney let out a long, deep sigh. All right. Thank you for your time. A few days later, I got a phone call from the manager at the Rive Gauche. Thank you for all of your help, she said. It was nothing, I said. It was something to me. You didn't have to testify, but I'm really glad you did. All I did was tell the truth. Come down to the restaurant any night I'm working, and I'll comp your dinner. I never took her up on it. That was nearly 20 years ago. But I'm hungry now. Wonder if it's too late to collect on that offer.